So there's the fishery response fund, which is the one that's aimed at the catching sector, and that's what we're here to talk about, and that consumes 8 million of that. The key thing your listeners will want to know is who's in and who's out. What's the eligibility criteria?
As of today, we have 300 applications in. As of today, we have processed 27 payments out, which is worth 113,000. Today, I have around about 41 ready to go, which is 172,000.
Good day to all the listeners out there coming through to you for the second time this week. Fathom's intention has always been to break down any complexities and bring them to you, our audience, in a digestible, easy to understand format, which I feel we're achieving in the light of this crisis. So we hope that this is keeping all of you well informed in what are still very challenging times. After having Fisheries Minister Victoria Prentice on Fathom on Wednesday, Paul alluded to the chance that we might be able to have Tom McCormack from the Marine Management Organisation back onto Fathom for a second time, with a view to get into the mechanics of how this 10 million support package will be delivered. So I'm glad to say that in today's episode, we are fortunate to welcome not just Tom, but also two of his top team colleagues, both Michelle Willis and Philip Haslam. Myself and Paul were very grateful for the opportunity to get under the surface of how this Fisheries Response Fund will work and bring it to you as simple as possible. So I'll hand you over to Paul and the top team from the MMO to bring a bit of light to what's going on.
Okay, great. So here we are back on Fathom and welcoming back Tom McCormack from the MMO. Good to his word. We've got the support package and he said he would come back and tell us how it's going from the MMO perspective, and he's back. But not back by himself. He's here with some of the top team from the MMO. So we've got Phil Haslam and Michelle Willis, who I'm sure he'll introduce in a minute. But great to have some of the driving force, the top team behind it at the MMO. So I don't think we need to enter into any small talk, particularly Tom. I think we can crack straight on. My understanding is you the MMO have already been in action. So perhaps straight into it, let's hear some of your views on the nuts and bolts and how this is going to work and how money's going to get to fishermen.
Thanks, Paul. Hi, Chris, and thanks for having us back. Before we go, I just want to introduce my colleagues. So as you say, we've got Phil Haslam. Phil's our operations director. I cover so much of MMO's customer-facing services, and he and his team, as well as a normal range of services, is really at the heart of helping to support delivery of the Fisheries Response Fund. His team are also joined Michelle's team to work really quickly to issue applications, get them processed, and get payments flowing. And equally, we've got Michelle Willis, who's amongst many things is our financial resources director, but Michelle actually leads our grants team in MMO, and it's the grants team that are leading on the application processing. So I wanted you to hear from the guys who are leading delivery of FRF, so I wanted to welcome them both. In terms of the FRF itself, yes, we're up and away. So the first announcement last Friday, but the formal launch announcement on Monday evening about 5 o'clock. Monday feels like such a long time away, it's 3 days away. And I'm delighted to say that as we said, we were ready to go. So working with the DEFRA colleagues at launch at 5 o'clock, we actually started to initiate contact with fishing. And I'm not going to steal anybody's thunder, but I'm going to ask Phil, first of all, if he could perhaps, Phil, just walk us through the nuts and bolts of the Fisheries Response Fund, the £8 million, our approach and things, then we'll hand over to Michelle and she'll give us the information everybody wants to know, how much and how many and when. So over to you, Phil.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Paul and Chris, for the invite on. Just to step you through the headlines, these will be known to you, but you know, there was a £10 million financial assistance package that was launched for English fishing and aquaculture businesses. And as Tom said, that was last Friday on the 17th. And we split that into two funds. So there's the Fisheries Response Fund, which is the one that's aimed at the catching sector. And that's what we're here to talk about. And that consumes 8 million of that. And that the purpose of that is to assist with meeting the fixed costs that we know that the industry, which is in a very difficult position at the moment, you know, the market has gone, you know, if you are out catching, there's not a lot built of market for it. The hospitality sector is shut down to meet those fixed costs, which come as overhead for running a fishing business. And that was the aim of it. We've got to the fact that this was a 3-month opportunity. And Michelle will pick up on, you know, how we are breaking that down. But obviously the first payments will be going out to cover 2 months, and then there'll be a third month once we are under review. This has been underpinned by data. And the reason we're in the position, and I have listened to Minister Prentice's podcast with you as well, that she was saying it was the power of the evidence. And I think the one I would like to highlight on is we have used the evidence sources that we have as an organisation. You'll be well aware, we have a stats analysis team that sits in London. They collect data, they collate that data, they then analyse it and they publish it. And they've done that for years and they continue to do that. And I think every one of your members and every fisherman will say that they account for everything 3 or 4 times over. Are they well aware at the end of a busy day, they're tapping into computers and things to tell us what is on? And I know that that can be an issue, but I think we've just proven having that in our back pocket ready to deploy has really helped. And we've used a couple of sets of data to do that. So we've used both catch and mark data. We've used the register of buyers and sellers to track what is going on in the market. And we were very able to see that, you know, when the trajectory ticked down and you could see that the market was going under, you could pick that up. But also we can track earnings through that as well. And that's been key to setting the boundary. And then the other bit of data that we've used to come up with the fixed costs is the Sea Fish Authority's economic survey data. And that is something that was published in 2018. It's averaged out, but it was the best available evidence. And that combination of what we know about, what's been caught, where it's been caught, what it's selling for, versus the fixed cost data that we got from Sea Fish has been a real powerful baseline that has enabled us not only to build this fund, but also to convince the central government that there is a pressing need. And I think that, plus the industry coming weekly, Paul, you'll know, you've been there, but the weekly calls that we've been having and the like, that is powerful. That was really powerful. And I think my takeaway from this is, I know data can be an issue, but boy, it's powerful when it's deployed in the right way. There's another bit of this, and this is the bit that I have been particularly happy about, and it's that data, which is the hard facts, has been backed up by the intelligence and information that we've received from being deployed around the coast, having those local teams, having those relationships, having that connectivity and knowing people in the industry. We've had a very good flow of information from day one of what's going on, how it's impacting people. And the blend of the hard data and the intelligence or information has been a real powerful thing. So, you know, massive thanks for people that have engaged with that. And we'll keep doing that because hopefully as we bottom out and come up again, that will help.
Phil, I think just before we do go on there, Phil, I think, you know, that is, it's good. It's always good to understand how we got to where we got to. And like you say, it does highlight the use of catch data and RBS and things like that. So, it, you know, it's good to draw that out and also good to recognise that the information fed in through the relationships we have, either formally through meetings that we have throughout the year and our ongoing conversations as organisations, but also the coastal officers and the information intelligence that's picked up around the coast. Doesn't always feel like it's going in, but when you have something like this happen, it kind of demonstrates that, you know, a good percentage of it does go in, and when it's needed, it can be drawn upon. So good to understand that, I think.
The key thing your listeners will want to know is who's in and who's out. What's the eligibility criteria? So there's the Fisheries Response Fund, which is the one that's aimed at the catching sector, and that's what we're here to talk about, and that consumes 8 million of that. It's up to support the fixed business costs of English fishing vessels. Vessels may continue to fish and they may be eligible for other schemes under the government, but for this particular scheme, the following criteria apply. And I'm going to read them to make sure they're right. They must be the owner of an English registered fishing vessel under 24 metres overall length. And in the marine work, you'll know what that means by overall length. The vessel must be currently registered with the MCA. The vessel must be licensed by us, the MMO. and the vessels must have sails of £10,000 or more, as recorded on sales notes supplied to the Register of Buyers and Sellers during the period 1st of March 2019 to the 23rd of March 2020. And they are the criteria that underpin this one.
I think that's really clear and a really important thing for people to understand. So thanks for that clarification, Phil. I think we've had a clear run through there of the process, how the eligibility criteria were arrived at. You aren't the people we need to be speaking to about those who are ineligible for a policy decision, but obviously there will be maybe some grey area about change of vessel ownership, about those who feel they should be eligible. Is it your intention to have an appeals process, and how will people be able to access that?
So the frequently asked questions online, this is covered. So if any of our customers have any dissatisfaction at all with the quality of service they've received, it's very clear, laid out how our customers should get in touch with us. Initially, we'd like to know so we can fix it. But if fishermen or customers believe that they haven't done that, then there's a complaints process. There's also the frequently asked questions, the arrangements around anybody that wants to dispute the FRA application or payment. There's also an address to contact us if you do want to dispute, and that's online as well, Paul. And Michelle's team will be processing those alongside our focused approach to getting payments out as quickly as possible.
Okay, so we have an appeals process as you've described there, and perhaps
we're calling it, to be clear, just so we don't confuse your listeners, but we're calling it a disputes process. But yeah, we're saying the same thing.
Okay, yeah, so that's good to hear. There will be a dispute resolution process, and that is, I'm sure, of comfort for people who are in a grey area. Just for clarification, the eligibility criteria. Of the minimum £10,000 of sales. Is it based only on RBS data, or is there other acceptable forms of evidence for that?
RBS data.
Okay, that's very clear.
Thank you. I wondered if we might ask Michelle to come in now and just share with our listeners what we're doing in AMMO to get money out to eligible owners as quickly as we can.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Chris, thanks, Paul, for the opportunity to come and speak to your listeners. So first of all, in terms of scaling up, as you know, the grants team is probably about 12 people. We've taken staff from across the MMO business to help bolster that team to deal with the volume of traffic in terms of emails, contact, and also to get the applications put through speedily. So when we went live on Monday at 5 o'clock, we got in touch by text message with over a thousand vessel owners to just make them aware that we would come to you, we want to come to you. And that's just to help us manage the volume of traffic and get through the applications and get the money to people as quickly as possible. So on Monday, we sent out over 400 applications to the 8 to 10 meter length vessel owners. As of today, we have 300 applications in. As of today, we have processed 27 payments out, which is worth £113,000. Today, I have around about 41 ready to go, which is £172,000. And we've got 20 which are about cleared. And we're getting the money to people within 24 hours. We've put arrangements in with our shared services provider to get the payments to people as quickly as we possibly can, so they don't have to wait too long from the point we process the application. So today, we will go out to around about 488 vessel owners who are in the under 8 and the 10 to 12 metre vessel length. All being well, we still will maintain our timeframes, and on Tuesday, the 28th of April, we will contact the 12 to 24 metre Thessalonians, which is a further 201. Our aim is hopefully by the end of next weekend, we'll have been able to manage all of the applications through and get the payments out. We are supporting applicants with their application form, but we have kept it as simple as possible. We're only asking for two pieces of ID, as you can imagine, bank details, but make sure we send the right payments to the right people, and just some evidence of who they are. But we're not asking for much information in order to help people get access to the fund as quickly as possible.
So fund payments will vary depending on the overall length of the vessel. If you look on our FAQs on the website, that should provide you with a detailed breakdown of the vessels, or give us a call and, you know, we'll try and help you work through that.
Yeah, I think again, thanks to Michelle and Tom there for explaining the process and structure in place, and it sounds like there is quite a robust structure in there. Sounds like the feedback's been, it's been simplified and things have been turned around quite quickly, or not quite, that's very quickly, which is for some will be an unusual experience with government. But I mean, Tom, you said this is what you had planned for the MMO, and obviously your team around you are helping you deliver that vision. So so far so good, and I have to say, from my own point of view in Cornwall, the feedback I've received so far is that it is as you describe, a straightforward, simple process. One question that does spring to my mind straight away is how, at what point should people contact you if they haven't heard whether or not they're eligible? Because that inevitably in the three waves, and as people are waiting, some on the quay side will have received, some won't. But is there a time when they should contact you and your team, Tom?
Yeah, I'll go first, and then Michelle can come in and support. We want to get the applications out to everybody as quickly as possible, because although it's simple information for looking back, bank account details and identity details, for some fishermen that'll be a really quick turnaround, but for some they'll need to check with accountants and things to get that information. So we can get the invites out, and as Michelle says, we want to get the invites out to everybody that's qualifying by the middle of next week, or by the end of next week. I'd say if you haven't had your invite by a week on Monday, so that's the beginning of May, then call us. That would be my sense of it. Michelle, I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. I think that if you haven't heard from us from by the back end of next week, then people should contact us. Equally, as there are people trying to work their way through the frequently asked questions, if they're unclear and they've been contacted by us directly and still have some questions, then they're struggling with the online guidance or something like that, then they should just contact us. We have got people able to take calls. But for those that haven't been contacted by the end of next week, then by Monday, we should be able to handle those exceptional queries. Mm-hmm.
I think that's very clear, Michelle. So if you haven't had your invite, get in touch with us from probably the 4th of May onwards. Right? If you have had your application invite and you have any questions or any queries, call us today. You know, just call us. We're here for you.
I think that's good. That's really useful for that bulk majority part of the scheme. Just to transition a little bit out of that, I think it'd be really good to explain to listeners a bit more about the 1 million that's set aside for the, shall I say, local fish fund. I'm not sure if it's got a specific name or part of the scheme, but just to go into a little detail.
Watch the space, Chris.
Okay.
So in the interest of completeness and clarity, government also announced our intention to develop some ideas and proposals to what help might be necessary we might be able to provide to the aquaculture business sector. And we've earmarked out the 10 million, up to a million for that. Finally, government announced that they would like us to develop a grant scheme to support local fishing activities, local sales and things, and that's up to a value of a million as well. And I think that's, Chris, what you're asking about, is that grant scheme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michelle's leading for us with DEFRA colleagues. Michelle, do you want to just give us a bit of an update on the project piece, please?
Yeah, of course. So basically, the scheme is around about, I guess, infrastructure to allow to connect fishers to consumers. That is about ensuring that we can complement the fixed cost aspect of the scheme, which is about, you know, making sure that people can still fish because we're not asking anybody to tie up, but also looking at innovative ways or clever ways in which in this unique set of circumstances we can better connect the capture to the consumer. We're working through the scheme design currently. Again, we are currently working through with DEFRA colleagues and Seafish colleagues what the eligibility criteria is, what type of projects that might be around, and also we do need to clear some of that detail with Treasury as well, who authorised the scheme. So we're pretty advanced with that, and we're doing ministerial engagement at the minute, and much of that's well developed. Again, we keep in as far as we possibly can, simplicity as being the key, and trying to keep the application process simple. The other thing that we've added to this, because what we really don't want to do, as many of your listeners know, they may have benefited from either European Maritime Fisheries Fund grants or Marine Fisheries Fund grants, to make sure that we don't undermine those investments, we don't want to create any market distortion. We are looking to create a panel of that will comprise of not just MMO and Seafish and other DEFRA officials, but also with industry, so we can ensure that the projects we do approve from that £1 million do actually go to the types of project investment that will create the benefit that we're looking for in terms of that local, regional sort of connectivity. So that, we hope, will give that sort of joined up accountability for responding to this to support your listeners. We are hoping to go live with that next week, so we are moving very quickly and moving at pace, and should be hoping to share some more detail with that of that scheme with you next week.
I think that sounds really positive. I mean, and good to see some industry involvement there to make sure there is genuine benefit and complementing the existing supply chain, rather than sometimes, you know, ill-advised grants can sometimes cause that distortion. So again, looks like putting in some robust structures to make sure that this money has maximum effect. So spot on.
Can I just add something to Michelle's update? It's we are continuing to move as quickly as we can. And like the Fisheries Response Fund, we will be doing this cross-government and bringing in industry needs to help shape our thinking. But at this stage, we are aiming for next week, but it's proposals we're developing. And I can't tell you what last week felt like, but expect lots of engagement with government, with Treasury, with Number 10 on all of these things, to give us the support to make sure that it lands in the correct way. So there's lots to be done, but we are aiming to make an announcement from mid to late next week.
That's good, and I think we understand that this is, you know, there's been a period of intense pressure and workload across all organisations, and I think everyone recognises that, and appreciate the words you just said there and understand those. Thanks, Tom. Tom, obviously finances are finite and are coming under some pressure within across government, and particularly I guess within the DEFRA family. So just to be clear about where this money has come from and what the impact is going forward for the rest of the year on potential grant support, could you just take us through that quickly?
Of course. So during this health emergency, we should all be aware of the whole range of support that government's announced financially. I mean, it's unprecedented. And actually, sometimes it's quite difficult to take it all in, which is why at MMO, what we've done is we've produced a kind of handy one-page guide to everything that's available, and that's available online. But in terms of the £10 million that's been announced by government on Monday evening, as I've said, £8 million of that is targeted towards payments towards fishermen's fixed business costs. There's up to a million we're looking for aquaculture, and another million for local projects. The money comes from what was left in the MFF pot. We started off with the MFF pot, just over £15 million. So we paid out a number of payments, and we've got payments in pipeline as well. There's £5 million left in the MFA pool. So the £10 million comes from that five, plus another five that's been matched by government. Okay, so that's where the money's coming from. I have to say, we really care about our fishing industries. We're really passionate about it in MMO, which is why with the evidence, we with industry and with DEFRA have lobbied for this. But I also have to say that fisheries is fairly unique in having established a sectorial pot like this. When you look across the rest of the economy, there are very few, can't think of any, when any other sectors have had the support, this additional support that we've managed to scoop for fishing. You're thinking about farming, dairy, haulage, whatever. So we've been really quite fortunate to have made the case. So what it means for MFF is we take the 5 million and it's gone. There's nothing else for the remainder of the MFF. But that million that's been purposed for local projects, it's MFA purposed money for supporting local projects through the coronavirus emergency. And I think we all need to be thinking like that, that under these extraordinary times, we've taken the 5 million that's left, we've managed to secure with DEFRA and HMT and all another five, there's 10 million. It'll be targeted in the way that I've described, remaining £1 million for projects as I've described as well.
I think that's clear, Tom, and I think it's important that everybody understands that. I don't see that there's anything wrong with that. I think, you know, industry has genuinely asked for a financial package. It has come forward with partly from existing fishery fund, partly from matched up by the Treasury, thanks to the efforts that everybody's put in. So I think it's just important to be clear about that and where we go from there. So I think absolutely brilliant to be clear and for you to be so upfront and honest about that, so that there's no misunderstanding. So obviously appreciate that. I'm conscious of time again, as always, and we're all busy people. So I'm just to say at this stage, you know, is to say thanks very much for that comprehensive, open, honest, frank spin through where the money came from, how the pot was arrived at in terms of stats and the importance of information and the structures and processes in place to get that out to those who need it around the coast. So again, thanks for your not just you, Tom, because today you've brought two key players from your team with Phil and Michelle there, just demonstrating that this is a team effort. So thanks for your time, thanks for your openness, and as I said last time, you've become you were good to your word, and you come back, and I would again ask you, are you prepared to come back again in a few weeks' time as we go through this process? Because you're good to your word in terms of the delivery has started well, and I'd like to be talking to you again in 3 weeks' time or 2 weeks' time when we're coming to the end of this process, and hopefully the experience has been as your vision has described.
Yeah, we were very happy to come back. And I think 2 or 3 weeks' time is probably the right time to come back, because we'll have much more information on the other two elements. But we'll also understand where we're at with the payments so far and what arrangements we're putting in place to make decisions around any June payments that might be made as well. And thanks again for the opportunity to meet so many of our customers through your podcast. It's really, really appreciated. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Thank you all. Okay, Paul, so that's been a pretty intense week, two episodes in 3 days, but I think it's been really helpful getting DEFRA on and senior team at MMO there, really unpick and unravel this package, this 10 million. We've got a good understanding where we're at. Hopefully, vessel owners feel a bit more assured and people on the quayside are in the know of what's happening. So, you know, it's always interesting to hear your summary, your views. You know, you're picking up lots of other conversations from other people in the industry. I don't know how many calls you've been on each day, but
yeah, certainly has been an intense time. And in terms of Fathom Runner, you know, we've gone from Barry D's a strategy of how we secure a support package. We've been through I'm talking with fishmongers and sail and about what supports there on the sort of pastoral side. And then this week we've had the UK Fisheries Minister on talking about how the support package was delivered. And then just in this session, we've been speaking with the MMO again about how they're going to deliver that support to fishermen. So, I think we've definitely packed a lot in there at quite a high level, I think, and hopefully people have found it informative. And if it raises questions, if it's not the experience that people are feeling on the quay, then please get in contact. And we're going to get these people back on, and we can ask them about some of the variance in their vision and their experience to what guys on the quay and on the boats feel. So, I think another solid episode there today. And as always, you know, people coming on and giving up their time is welcome and appreciated. I don't know what you think, Rani, but I think maybe next week we get back on the quayside. Let's get back to speaking to some real fishermen and some day-to-day experience stuff. But obviously the crisis continues, and if anything emerges, we'll get on it and we'll try and bring it here onto Fathom.
Yeah, and we certainly welcome engagement from our listeners, from anyone out there, fishermen, right through the whole supply chain. Any comments, suggestions, or other people you might want us to bring on and interview and get a good understanding of what they're doing is certainly welcome. So get in contact via Facebook, Twitter, the PO. We welcome that from our listeners.
Absolutely, Rani. Yeah. All comments, all criticism, constructive or otherwise, appreciated. So just get in contact in all the normal ways. And I'll catch up with you next week, Rani, and we'll see what Fathom brings then, eh, mate?
Yeah, sounds good as always.
All right, cheers.
Bye-bye.
Fathom has been brought to you by the Cornish Fish Producers Organisation with support from the European Maritime and Fisheries Fund and Seafarers UK.